Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Encouraging the Church podcast. My name is Daryl, and in this lesson, I'm discussing the darkened heart of lovely to God principle from the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5. Would you join us as we learn about how God sees us and how we are valuable and lovely to God, even in the midst of our darkness? Thank you. God, we thank you for this church. We thank you for this congregation, that we have a place to gather as believers and be encouraged in your word.
Amen.
God, we ask you to strengthen our hearts as we learn from your word today, as we think about the truth that's contained in the book of the Song of Solomon.
Yes, Lord.
God, help us to see you right. God, when we see you right, we will live right. God, we ask you to reveal yourself to us, that you would show us what Jesus is like, because Jesus shows us what the Father is like. He shows us what you're like.
Yes, Lord.
God, we thank you for the Word of God. We ask you to let it speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Go ahead and open your Bible to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Looking at Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5 today. Does someone want to read that verse? Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5.
Just verse 5?
Yeah.
Dark am I, yet lovely, the daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tent of Seder, like the tent curtains of Solomon.
Okay. Thank you. And today, we're looking at how the bride, and we talked about the bride being who?
The church.
The church. Okay, and we talked about the three characters. All right, so we named one already. We named the bride as the church. There's the lover. Who's the lover?
Jesus.
Jesus is the lover. And the friends. The friends are the sincere yet immature believers. We'll get to them later on in the Song of Solomon. But today we're talking about how the bride sees her heart before God. Okay? So how we look at ourselves in relation to how God sees us. And we see that she calls herself dark in heart, but lovely to God. And we're going to talk about what that means. Have you ever looked through a microscope, like maybe in school or something like that? They put the slide under the microscope. What happens? It magnifies it. You can see what it's made of. You can see the little things running around on the slide. What happens if you wipe the slide off, but you turn the power up? Well, it gets magnified. There's more there. There's that you didn't see before. That's the same thing that happens when we walk in the light that God gives us. You'll know a lot of times in your life, when you're living for God, you know that you're living clean, you know that you're living holy. So what does God do in our lives?
He takes care of us. He goes before us, behind us, over us, and under us.
He does, but in relation to being dark in heart but lovely to God, he turns up the microscope power. Okay, so what we're talking about is when God turns the microscope up in our lives, we get to see more of the darkness that's in us.
Amen.
Now, When we see that darkness, what do we do?
Change it.
We change it, but do we run to God or from Him? That's the thing that I want us to look at today. We talked a few weeks ago about having a right understanding of God that allows us to run to Him when we sin instead of from Him in shame. Okay? Now, 1 Timothy 1:15 says that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul the Apostle said this. Okay, think about all the things that Paul did. Think about how he led numerous revivals, the revival on Mars Hill, okay? Think about the people that were healed through his ministry. Think about the people that were brought to Jesus because of his ministry. But yet he says that he's the chief, he's the greatest sinner ever. Okay? Now, do you think Paul is being overdramatic here?
No.
No, Paul's stating the truth. But he says that Jesus came into the world to save him. So if Jesus came into the world to save him, Jesus saves us as well when we see the darkness of our heart. Matthew chapter 5 is what we call the Beatitudes, okay? And I think Pastor asked last week, is there anyone here that can say the first Beatitude? Is there anyone here that knows it off heart? Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay? This is the same thing that we're talking about today. To be poor in spirit means that we have to see the darkness that's in us. But when we see that darkness, that's to cause us to be joyful that Jesus came to save us. Does that make sense?
Yes, because Jesus reveals it to us.
He does. And he doesn't do it because he's a cynical God that's up there ready to strike us with his fist, right?
No.
We're talking about the love of God and the mercy of God that leads us to repentance. Now, when we sin in our lives, a lot of times we think, you know, I'm just the hypocrite, right? There's a lot of people that when they sin, they think that God is surprised at their sin. They think that if God is surprised, or if they're surprised that they sin, then God must be as well. Meaning, I can't believe, God, that I let you down in this way, right? We've all had that thought at some point in our lives. We all have that. We talked a few weeks ago about that one sin that keeps coming back. All right? Now, if we're surprised that we let God down, a lot of times we think God must be surprised as well. But God's motivation to love us comes from his own heart. It's not based on anything that we do. That's the heart of the gospel. That's the whole reason any of us are saved in the beginning, is because God is love. It's because of who he is. Before he even created anyone, before he created Adam, there was the divine trinity of love. They danced together in the trinity of love. They enjoyed each other. God the Father enjoyed God the Son, who enjoyed God the Holy Spirit before Adam was even created. And they were together in love. And God created Adam, and he created each one of you because of love. Not based on what you do. Okay, this is really important because well, the idea that's going around today, not just in the church, but outside the church, is you hear ideas thinking and saying, well, if I just do enough good things, I can get my way into heaven. Is that right?
No.
No. God's motivation, God's basis to love us, comes from within His own heart, not from our promises to not fail. A right understanding of this will empower us to run to God instead of from Him in shame. And that's what I mentioned earlier. It's what we talked about a few weeks ago. Now, we're talking about being dark in heart but lovely to God. So, the bride, she sees her heart as dark. She sees the evil desires, the evil intentions, you know, the times when she didn't do what she should have done, even when she knew that what she was doing was wrong. But she still thinks of herself as beautiful to God, as lovely to God. Why? Well, there are four reasons. One is because of the free gift of righteousness that God gives to His people. All right? Sinful people are made lovely in God's sight because of what Jesus did, not because of what we do. And that's what I just talked about. Does someone want to read 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21?
How are you? All right?
Okay.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God.
So that's number one, we're beautiful to God, even after we sin. Okay? Because Jesus paid our penalty. Jesus gave His life so that we could be righteous or clean or made right with God. It's not something that we earn, it's a free gift. Number two reason we're lovely before God, even after we sin, is that we have a willing spirit. At the new birth, when you became a Christian, when you gave your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit put a yes in your spirit to obey God. David prayed to be sustained by a willing spirit. He said in Psalm 51:12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit." And that was right after he had sinned with Bathsheba. The number two reason we have the number two reason we are lovely before God is because of our desire to obey Him. Okay? And that's important to know, because God is merciful. And if we don't see God as merciful, then our desire to obey Him won't matter. But it does matter because God is merciful. The number three reason we're beautiful or lovely before God, even after we've sinned, is because of the very nature, the very makeup of who God is and His personality. The very affections and passions in God's heart determine how He feels towards us. You heard the phrase, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Boy, this is the very truth about the personality and the character of God. Okay? In Revelation, it says that there's a rainbow around the throne. All right, think about this for a second. I think about this quite a bit. Now, close your eyes. No one's going to steal your money or your watch or anything like that. Close your eyes. And think about the throne. There's the Father on the throne. There's Jesus sitting to the right of the Father at His right hand. And there's a rainbow around the throne. Now, in the book of Genesis, there was the flood. All right? At the end of the flood, what was there?
Rainbow.
What did the rainbow stand for?
God's love and God's forgiveness love. For the world.
His mercy. It showed us that God desired to not flood the earth again. It showed us that He was merciful. Now, there's some talk about whether it's a rainbow like this, or I just set this as a question out to you. What if the rainbow goes around His throne like this? And so that everywhere that He looks through the lens of mercy. He sees mercy. Just what if? What if when God looks at you right now, He's looking at you with mercy? Number four, the reason that we're lovely before God is our eternal destiny as the bride of Jesus, or as the bride of Christ. God sees us through the lens of who we are now and who we will be for billions of years, not just now. So you know that you're going to be living in the year 7272. Okay? If Jesus comes back by then, you know you're going to be alive, right? So Jesus sees us. He sees how we're going to be living when he's ruling on the earth, when there's no more struggle with sin. He views us with that. And His desire to see that come to pass trumps His desire for for judgment, because it says judgment triumphs over mercy in Micah.
The other way around.
Mercy triumphs over judgment. I knew it was something like that.
It also repeats that in James.
Yeah. So when we struggle with sin, when you are going about your life and you realize there's this one area in your life that you're trying to overcome, and you keep failing, and you feel despair in your heart, you feel like giving up, but you know you can't give up, what do you do? Where do you go? How do you overcome that sin?
You pray.
You pray, yes, but there are three stages of victory. Number one is our sincere desire, we talked about this, to obey God. That's a stage of victory that we experience. Intention is where the victory begins. The Holy Spirit is the author of sincere desires. He's the one that put the desire in your heart to obey God. That desire to obey God wasn't put in your heart by the devil. It was put in there by the Holy Spirit. That's the first stage of victory. The second stage of victory is a partial breakthrough, yet with continued struggle. I'm going to read Romans 8. You don't have to turn there. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So that's a partial breakthrough. The third stage of victory we experience is total transformation with transformed desires. And Romans 6, verse 14, it says, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but you're under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but by grace? By no means." In verse 17, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed." So what he's saying there is, because of the grace of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, and what we're looking at here, how we're lovely before God, our knowledge, our understanding that we're lovely to God should help us to ignore sin, to leave what we struggle with behind us and to move forward. He's saying it does not give you a license to sin, okay? It's like obeying the speed limit, all right? Now, my driver's license is a license for me to drive a car, okay? But does this license give me a license to go over the speed limit?
No.
No. It's the same thing with the grace of God. The grace of God gives us a license to enjoy life, to enjoy God, but we are not to give ourselves to sin. That's the third stage of breakthrough with transformed desires. It says because the Holy Spirit is in us, he changes our desires. He changes what we live for, what we want to do. So you, what are you going to do? What's your plan when you discover that you have a weak flesh and a dark heart? Here's some paper here. Go ahead and pass the paper around. Here's some pens and some pencils. And the question I'm asking you today is, you can start, I want you to come up with a plan for when you are going about your day and you feel like you are disappointing God. Okay, we talked about how we're lovely to God. We talked about the three stages of victory. We talked about why we're lovely to God. So what's your plan? How are you going to get to that point of breakthrough? Okay? Go ahead, take a few minutes. Start your plan. When you discover the darkness of your heart, when you discover that you don't always want to do the will of God, what's your plan to get to that point of breakthrough? A few closing things. A life of shame leads to a life of sin. If you feel dirty, you're going to live dirty. That's why it's important for us to understand our loveliness to God. Because if we understand how God sees us, then we won't even want to sin. We'll want to please Him, just like Jesus. Jesus knew He was lovely to God, right? Did Jesus ever commit a sin?
No.
Jesus never committed any sin. He had no reason to doubt His loveliness to God. So He had no reason to live in sin. He knew He was clean. He knew He was loved. He knew He was enjoyed. So if that scripture we read in Romans says that we've been given the righteousness of God, the same righteousness that Jesus has before the Father, it's given to us. You are right now as righteous before God as Jesus is. And that righteousness that you have cannot be improved upon because it's the righteousness of God. So we don't need to live as second-class citizens. A lot of times when we feel that we've disappointed God or we feel that we're struggling in a certain area, we relegate ourselves to living as second-class citizens. But we don't have to live as second-class citizens. There's one class in the kingdom of God. It's first class, all the way, because of the righteousness of God as a free gift. So in closing, you can... But we're just going to close right now. But there's paper here if you still need paper. There's pencils here. But I'm going to give this homework out today. And you can do this as homework. But what's your plan? What are you going to do when you discover your weak flesh and your dark heart? That's your homework. Okay? Write a plan. Include the three stages of victory. Include why you're righteous to God and how God sees you. This is really important because if we live dirty, if we feel dirty, we will live dirty. If we feel clean, we will live clean. And we can back all this up with the Word of God. Any closing thoughts or comments?
I think as human beings, we have to always struggle towards purity in thought, word, and deed. And it's a constant struggle.
It's like it's the microscope principle, like we talked about in the beginning. God always turns it up, but why is He turning it up? When we get over a certain area, words is always something it talks about in James. It says, if a man can bridle his tongue, that man is a perfect man. Okay? Can any of you do that? Can you bridle your tongue? Can you get your tongue under control? No. And so, you know, this is something I struggle with a lot is my words. And I'm asking God to help me with my words. But each time I feel a success, God turns the microscope power up a little bit more, and he says, I want you to focus on this now. I go, okay. I get that under control. He turns it up a little bit more. He says, focus on this. Okay, focus on this. And he keeps doing that because he wants us to grow to be like him and because he loves us.
Daryl, you know, I have 10 children, and my children call me constantly, and I see that God works through them to change me, because their problems are because of the problems I had in my life, which they absorbed from me, you know, and I have to constantly instruct them how to overcome, you know, in the way that I overcame with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a day-to-day battle.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
That's why we're taking this class on the Song of Solomon, because it's important. So I'm just going to go ahead and close this in prayer. God, we thank you for the free gift of righteousness. We thank you that we are lovely for you, that the righteousness that was given to us through Jesus offering on the cross, through his body, through his blood, it cannot be improved upon. The righteousness is ours if we will take hold of it, if we will believe. God, we thank you that we don't have to live as second-class citizens. We don't have to live in shame. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in regret. But God, we make this confession in our hearts right now that we, whatever we struggled with this last week, whatever we struggled with this last month, this last year, God, we press the delete button right now.
Amen.
And we move forward. Like Paul said, I forget the things which lie behind, and I press on. I move forward towards the goal of Christ Jesus. God, we do that today. We press the delete button, and we move forward in our lives today. God, we thank you for this fresh start. We thank you that we don't earn your love, that we do, that everything that you give is a gift. So, God, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.